The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Nobody Told Me. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black.
Do you find your days are often so hectic that you long for a minute to breathe, yet you're too busy to pause for even a minute to think and rest? Our guest on this episode, Juliette Funt, has some words of wisdom that we all need to hear right now.
Juliette is a consultant to Fortune 500 companies and an in-demand speaker on efficiency and time management. She's written a new book for all of us who are feeling overworked and overwhelmed and wish we had more to show for all of our busyness. Her book is called A Minute to Think, Reclaim Creativity, Conquer Busyness, and Do Your Best Work. Juliette, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I have to say that when I first read the title of your book, I immediately thought, yes, this is what I need. I need this today. Why did you decide to write this book?
Well, I've been spending about 20 years in the process of getting to this moment. The first 10, I developed the content speaking and consulting and training. And the second 10, we've been implementing it in organizations. And along the way, I have seen a lot in working people. I have seen a lot of wasted talent, and I have seen an awful lot of tolerated misery in just the way that work feels every single day for human beings who spend a dominant portion of their waking hours doing it. And I wanted to create a guide from the content that we've seen work so well for people that was very systematic, where they could change things one step at a time, one friend at a time, and make new norms within with their teams or their organizations.
How has burnout and busyness and all of this changed from what it was, say, 2 years ago to what it is today?
Oh, it's a spectacularly frightening conversation, actually, because the numbers keep getting worse and the bottom still hasn't arrived. This is an Alcoholics Anonymous term about when an AA person hits their bottom, means that they have, get an alcoholic, they get in a sufficient amount of pain, they hit what they call their bottom, and then they're ready. It's a catalyst to change. And my observation, honestly, especially in some of the larger organizations that we work with, is they're very akin to what they call a bottom with a trap door. They keep getting to what should be a healthy point of pain, but then they are able to go deeper. Meetings have more than doubled since the pandemic. The workday is extended by 2.5 hours. And the best that we can do a lot of times is a lot of heart-centered leaders are throwing one single wellness day at people, or some mental health counseling that's available. And it's so much from the right place, but it's so not the answer, because it's a very, very limited response to a very deep problem.
Why do you think it's happened? Why has the pandemic worsened this? Because I discovered that when the pandemic first hit and we were going to have to be quarantining, there was a part of me that felt, hey, I need this pause and I need to take a step back and not have life and society feel quite so intense. And I really thought that it would be just the opposite, that people would be taking more time to think and value their lives.
Matt, do you mind if I ask, is that how it worked for you?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it really did. I think I took a step back.
I think that that's wonderful. And there are, I think, a little bit more in the entrepreneur and solopreneurial track where people have more agency in the day, that pause for some was transformational, that they took a step back. Maybe they realized that they hadn't been present with family and played a good old-fashioned board game in longer than they could stand. And it made them stop and slow down. But there were other channels of parallel response to the pandemic. First of all, we were assaulted with, hey, you've got to pause. Why don't you learn to bake bread from scratch and watercolor and stencil furniture? And, you know, just there was this urgency of what ways can you optimize yourself because you happen to have a little oxygen, you better use it to make yourself even more impressive. And I think that that was actually a subtext of the early pandemic that became very exhausting for people. They couldn't just rest. They couldn't just have enough processing time for the gigantic amounts of emotion and fear and ambiguity that were latently hanging out in all of us. And so that was exhausting. But then the other channel that I spend more of my time with is what we would call the laptop jockeys. I can't remember where that term came from, but people, if you have a laptop and that's the primary way that you work, the pandemic simply opened up a wormhole of infinite time at the laptop. And actually, I was on a call with an executive leader in Europe who said that life had become so boring 14, 15 months in, where you've literally watched all of Netflix at this point, that work became your recreation. There's just
Isn't
nothing
that
else
true?
To do.
I was noticing this past weekend that I felt like I'd watched all of Netflix and Hulu, and I was like, God, I want something else to do.
Yes. I mean, and so that was part of it. Then more layers pack on. Executives who usually think of most of their work as their job is often to be assigning work. A leader spends their day thinking of what project should people do and who should I give them to. So you remove a commute, you've just added 2 hours more assigning time for every leader in every company anywhere that trickles down to people who really have no need to have a boundary of when work starts and stops. And then I guess the last thing that I'd add is there was this psychological trick of the pandemic, which was in the beginning, it was an emergency. And in an emergency, all hands on deck, everybody buckles up and we all work hard. But then that emergency never really ebbed. And it just became kind of this marathon where the emergency quality continued, but for months and months and months. And so we had that urgent response where we mobilized appropriately, but that's supposed to be for very short-term fixing. And that this was not short-term. So I think that there were just so many threads.
As people are starting to go back into the workplace and they're having to put in those extra 2 hours a day to commute, let's say, how can they try and get it across to their boss that they're losing 2 hours, they don't want to contribute that time to the workplace, and that they want to reset their business hours to what they were before?
Right. Now, this is a big conversation. Can we rewrite the norms of COVID? Are we going to be able to go back? But it lives within a wider context. And this is where the optimism really comes in. And that is that we are at a spectacular moment of opportunity right now, because all the car parts of the engine are out on the driveway. We've taken everything apart. Work is being redesigned. We can use this moment to change things that we've hated for decades, because it's all about redesign right now. And that can also be behavioral redesign. It can be the way that we talk. It can be the way that we set boundaries. It can be the way that we give ourselves freedom for recuperation or thoughtfulness. And this is the moment. And then there will be a time, I don't know how many months, where the jello will set back up and then we'll be locked like an insect in the amber for another 20 years of whatever way we decide that work has to be. So I think that this is the most exciting time in my career to make these changes. So you ask me how. There have to be overt conversations. Every worker in the world, and if I have a version of this for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, so stand by for that. But every worker in the world who does have a boss needs to sit down and say, "Woo, that was a pretty crazy 18 months. What will be the expectations now of the length of my workday?" Mm-hmm. And that boss, faced with a direct question, will have to have an answer that they could live with out loud in language. They can't say 7 to 7 because it'll be ridiculous, even if that's what we've been living. And so I think that those overt conversations, possibly fueled by team conversations first that empower individuals before they go to the boss, are really where we're heading. Entrepreneurs and solopreneurs need to sit down quietly on their own with a little time to think. Just take a minute to think about, I did good. I got through this thing. And now what? Now what? What norm do I want to set for the rest of my professional life?
How risky is it to even ask something like that, though, when you have so many eager up-and-coming workers who are willing to do whatever it takes, work more than just those 2 hours? Should you worry about losing your job or not getting a promotion?
It's delicate because executives are sometimes good at some things and not good at others. They may not be good at being evolved and looking deeply into what's healthy for people, but they're probably still pretty good at firing people. So there is a spectrum that we want to maintain. But if you are not able in your workplace to ask a question like, about when should work begin and about when should work end? Hey, boss, I'm having trouble figuring out where I should factor this in now as we move back to the office, then that's a very important indication about where you are working and who you're working for. That needs to go into your accounting of how work feels for you. If it's scary, or if you work in a place that doesn't have a very loving and accepting leader, we suggest getting what we call a nobody, which is a friend that you use anytime you have to say no or set a boundary to anything. And you two can sit down first and rehearse it. Figure out what's the language that sounds like I'm enthusiastic, but I'm firm, not too pushy, not like a slacker. And you hash through together, what would the scene look like before you walk into that scary moment with the boss? That kind of preparation can make you feel very empowered and know that you're doing the right thing.
We thank you for being part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. You know, we always try to tell you about things that will help improve your life. And our sponsor, ZocDoc, is one of those things.
ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. They treat almost every condition under the sun.
You know, it's frustrating to go to a doctor's appointment expecting to be able to fully explain your symptoms, condition, and worries, only to find that the doctor wants to hurry you out of their office.
Instead of listening to you intently, the doctor is checking the clock. But on ZocDoc, you'll find quality doctors who focus on you, listen to you, and prioritize your care. I've used ZocDoc several times to find doctors, and I have never been disappointed. I love how ZocDoc lets you check a doctor's availability and book an appointment as soon as the same day if there's an opening.
Thousands of doctors and medical professionals on ZocDoc are there to help you. ZocDoc helps you find the ones that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
When you're not feeling your best and just trying to hold it together, finding great care shouldn't take up your energy. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. Using their free app that millions of users rely on, you can find the right doctor that meets your needs and fits your schedule.
Book an appointment with a few taps in their app and start feeling better faster with ZocDoc.
Go to ZocDoc.com/NTM and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours.
That's ZocDoc.com/NTM. ZocDoc.com/NTM.
If you have a symptom that you'd really like to get checked out, don't put it off anymore.
Just go to ZocDoc.com/NTM and download the ZocDoc app for free.
You talk about how it's important for us to have these open windows of time during the day, some white space, as you call it. What should our goals be in terms of that? I know you've done so much research on this.
Sure. Well, let's back up to the foundational metaphor of all of the work and of the book, which is we have to understand what white space is. Mm-hmm. So the foundational metaphor is if you built a fire, you could add a lot of important materials. You could add fire starter and newspaper and softwood and hardwood. But if you didn't add space, those flames would never ignite and you would never get the fire to become what it could be. And our lives are the same. Our minds are the same. We need this space. We call it white space because one of the pieces of how the name came to be was me coaching for years and years with executives, looking at their calendar, their good old-fashioned paper calendars, and noticing the white, that when there was white, nothingness, unplanned time, that day held a different kind of possibility. We see this affirmed in, there's many stories in the book of leaders from Jeff Weiner to Phil Knight to John Cleese, who all use thinking time to their enormous advantage. So once we validated that this space, this just oxygenating, beautiful space is what we're missing, then we have to figure out how to get it. And the questions that you're asking about how many minutes, people will ask, should I use a timer? Does exercise count? These are important, but they're getting lost in the weeds a little bit, which is it doesn't really matter as long as you give yourself permission to just take a minute. It can be 3 seconds, 5 seconds, a minute, 30 minutes. But the general premise of I deserve to oxygenate my day and it makes me stronger, smarter, and better when I do, that's the heavy lifting of the work, not the tailored individual design of however you want to use it. We can get into the specifics, but the big picture is much more important.
How can we even explain to our boss or to our team that we want to take a little time and say we want 10 minutes every few hours to meditate? I know that really helps me, but it would be weird to put that in a calendar.
So let's actually, since you brought up meditation, let's differentiate white space from meditation and a couple of other neighboring concepts so we can really get a kind of a feel in our mouth for what it's supposed to be like. Meditation is a wonderful thing. I meditate every morning. But it is instruction based. So when you meditate, do you follow candle or mantra or breath, or how do you meditate?
I actually use the Calm app for 10 minutes or half an hour, something like that.
Yeah. So anything that you're following like that, if you're following the person guiding you in a Buddhist meditation, you're following breath, you're following something. When the mind wanders off, you gently direct it back to the thing that you're following, either that person's voice or your candle or your breath. Then you wander off and you direct back. So that kind of instruction in meditation or even mindfulness, which is similar, is different than what we intend in white space. White space has no instruction. It is a moment of complete mental liberty. So this is daydreaming. It's looking at, staring at a wall. It's closing your eyes if you're exhausted. It's doing whatever you need to do in that time. And there are tricky ways that you can block it, even in a culture that doesn't approve of it. So the most important white space for exhausted people right now is those 5 to 10 minute slices between their digital meetings, that we absolutely have to see some white lines on the calendar in between this horrible Zoom progression of the day in order for people to manage. And then past that, if you want to block more time, but you don't work in a culture where you can put white space on your calendar, you can put thinking time, strategic time. I have a client in New York who just puts big data because nobody knows what it means, but they wouldn't dare question it. So it's just anything where you can hold the space. It's too bad that we live in a world where you still have to hide around the corner like a smoker to just take a minute.
Yeah.
And that's my dream, my mission is to norm the idea that we are more than the activities that we are compiling in the course of the day. And it actually has a business. It's very, very important to remember that there's a business result to this pausing. Pausing can be recuperative. It's what we're talking about because of the pandemic and burnout, and it's so important. But it's also where creative ideas, innovation, strategy, smart business thinking have a little window where they can come in and visit us in the day. And if we don't have these thinking moments, our price we pay is far beyond just being physically tired. It impacts the way that we can contribute in the things that we're here to do at work.
What are the main keys to this white space way of working?
Good. The biggest one is permission to take a minute, and that permissional aspect. We were editing and I realized that the word permission was 31 times in the book. And I stopped for a minute and asked the editor, is that okay? And she said, yeah, I think we need 32 more because it's what we need is just that feeling of grace around it and not like we have to hide and not like it's slacking off and we have to redefine our relationship with that open time. So that's really foundational. The most easy tool for people to start with is called the wedge. The wedge, if you imagine, we're audio only here, but just imagine an actual wedge, like a diamond, a triangle pointing up, a little wedge of open time inserted in between activities that used to be connected. So in between a question and an answer, in between opening your eyes and getting out of bed, in between a meeting and a meeting, to start inserting just these little tiny openings. We're creating an interstitial use of that oxygenating space through the day. And the wedge can be the only tool you use for the rest of your white space career, or it can be just your training wheels, but that's really where people should start. And once that starts, then the next step, especially for people who work in teams, is to begin discussing together the space deficit and the ways they want to change it, because white space is better together. And when you start talking about this, what you find is that everybody just wishes they could take a minute and they're yearning for it. Then you start getting excitement around the idea of bringing it back. And now you have camaraderie, which is one of the most important things when you're trying to do difficult change.
We thank you for being part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. And in just a minute, we'll tell you about a special offer for our listeners from our sponsor, Ritual.
Ritual makes a great product called Symbiotic Plus. We love it and we think that you might too. You may have heard us talk about it before. It's our daily 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotic, probiotic, and postbiotic designed to help support a balanced gut microbiome.
If your gut's telling you it needs a little support, Ritual has your back. With Ritual Symbiotic Plus, you get two of the world's most clinically studied probiotic strains to support the relief of mild and occasional digestive discomforts like bloating, gas, and diarrhea.
Why include a postbiotic? Well, it provides fuel to the cells that make up the gut lining and supports a healthy gut barrier. Symbiotic Plus comes in a delayed release capsule that's designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract for delivery to the colon, an ideal place for probiotics to grow and thrive.
Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. It's time to listen to your gut. Ritual is offering our Nobody Told Me listeners 10% off during your first 3 months.
Visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today.
All you have to do is visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today.
I love how you say that we need to discern activity from productivity. So besides the obvious of being on our computer and looking at possible vacations, which sounds amazing right now, and doing work, how else can we differentiate it? I sometimes confuse them.
Oh, it's the dominant way that work works, which is the more you're moving, the more you're typing, the more you're running by and sweating, the more you get points in corporate heaven. And that's a big problem because that has nothing to do with producing anything of value at the end of the day. In fact, if the three of us sat in a conference room for 8 hours, we got Danish, we just sat quietly in that room for 8 hours. And at the very end of that day, one of the three of us had a gigantic, novel, fresh breakthrough idea that changed the project we were working on, it would have been a spectacularly productive day, but it would not have been active. And conversely, if we had been deleting emails and writing stupid slide decks and sitting in unnecessary meetings all day long, we would have looked very active, but we would have done what so many people do, which is get to the end of the day and just kind of look up and say, did I do anything today? What did I do today? And that's how the whole world feels at the end of these wasteful corporate days. We measure this busy work and we see it's extremely expensive for companies. It costs the average company $1 million of annual waste for every 50 people just doing nonsense work. But that's almost subordinate to how big a price it is for the way that work feels for people.
How can we determine how much this busyness is costing us? I mean, you talk about $1 million as the figure with a lot of businesses, but what about us as individuals? How can we put a dollar cost on it?
Well, dollarizing a single person would definitely be harder because the way that we get those numbers is we take the value of the people and we multiply it by the time. But I suppose you could do that as an individual. You could say to yourself, what do I bill at per hour? Or let's say I'm a lawyer. A big question with lawyers is, do you bill for thinking time? This is a very fascinating idea. Does thinking count if I'm thinking deeply about a client? But if you were to figure out what is my time worth per hour in my own estimation, and that could be what you charge for it, or it could be just what you think it's worth. And then you start thinking about how many Zoom meetings am I sitting in all day where I'm neither contributing or benefiting? And how many hours a day am I answering CCFYI email? It's going to be a little bit less outside of a larger corporation, but you can quantify. It's math my 8-year-old could do, which is just, it's so funny. I've been saying that reference a long time. My 8-year-old is 11. So it's math my 11-year-old could do.
Time flies. So,
time flies, baby. So that sense of I am worth $100 an hour. And I have decided that really 2 hours of my day is truly just garbage. That's $200 a day. And that means that $1,000 a professional week I'm spending on garbage. That's a really interesting thing to sit quietly with for a minute.
What should we do if we're feeling like we've lost our passion? Should we try another field, or should we just try to add these moments of strategic pause and white space into our days and see if that makes any difference?
I love the question about passion, because I was just reading last night a wonderful burnout text from a woman in Australia who was reiterating something that I know deeply, which is when you're burnt out, the world becomes gray and you become numb to pleasure and connection. So even if you were sitting in front of a project that was deeply inspiring to the person that you were before you became so exhausted, you might feel nothing. You might have no sense of gratification, very similar to the way that depression affects people. So this is not maybe the best time to decide if you are or are not passionate about work, especially if you feel really burnt out. We need to first get you back. When I usually am often asked, what can burnt out people do immediately? What's the first thing? And I do think that there's a progression. First, we have to feel whatever it is that we've been subordinating, because when we're emotionally blocked, we don't have clarity. And then we need to take some time off that may or may not feel immediately restorative, but a day or an hour or a whole weekend where we just let the body come back a bit. And then we need to have those conversations that we talked about earlier with the boss. And at the end of all of that, when we're on a path to rebuild a mental health program for ourselves, and our boss is starting to validate that we might need some support and maybe we've taken some time off, then and only then would I think it's safe to really say, is this work floating my boat? Is this really what I want to do? Because I don't think that our antenna are tuned right now to whether we are feeling passionate. I think there's a Maslow hierarchy issue where we can't worry about passion when we're struggling to survive.
How can you apply these white space practices to your personal life and your family life as well?
That's my favorite question. That's my favorite topic. I had to ask somebody asked me in an interview, what's your favorite chapter? And I did eventually say chapter 11, which is about white space at home, but it's kind of like, who's your favorite kid? You're not supposed right. to say that out loud, right? But this is the bringing white space home. When you have a home life that is oxygenated with room to enjoy and feel pleasure and be present, that's what everything else is for. All of the things that we do in the day at work, to me, are to create a space where we can then have not miss our life. And so I'm extremely passionate about underscheduling children, about reacquainting ourselves with previous passions, about giving enormous permission to let the domestic to-do list sit idle while you are on a couch with a piece of fiction, staring at a bird out a window and being guilt-free in doing that. That when you can add some of that into the day, I think that that's when you're setting yourself up to look back on not having missed your life. And that's really the deepest passion I have about the work that I do.
As you know, our show is called Nobody Told Me. So at the end of each show, we ask our guests, what is your Nobody Told Me lesson? So what is it that nobody told you about calm, accomplishments, efficiency? I know those are kind of opposites, but what is it that nobody told you? Or you can take it to your life in general. Yeah, pausing that you wish that they had, because it would have saved you from needing to do all this research yourself and would have your life earlier.
Well, if you had an anthropologist track my life, you'd find these archival pieces. I wrote a song when I was about 7 called I'm Busy Forever. And I have this tape somewhere. I also have a picture from, it might have been college, but some workshop I went to where I'm working at a desk with those Hindu godlike arms where I have 8 arms and I work. So my busyness addiction or predisposition has tracked me for decades and decades. And I just wish someone had said that that is not where your value comes from. That you just sitting in a chair with a little smile on your face, have inherent value that doesn't need to be proven through accomplishment. And I came from, Jan, you'll remember my father, Alan Funt, from Candid Camera.
That
I came from a very high set point of achievement in my family. You know, I had a famous dad, younger listeners won't remember, but it was the very first to ever reality television show. And what achievement looked like was a little distorted. You know, when you have 2 hours of people waiting in line for autographs at a diner with your dad, that distorts your image of what enough looks like. So I just wish I had known that there, that I had value, full stop. And then if I wanted to build or do some cool things in my life, that that was gravy.
Wow, that's just fabulous. Juliet, how can people connect with you on social media and the internet if they want to find out more about your work and your book?
Yes, please. We launch on August 3rd, so it's a pretty exciting time. JulietFunt.com is the website. And we've actually given them something there that they can do. Even if they don't want to buy the book, they can take the busyness test. It's in a personal assessment that will help them really determine where is my personal busyness coming from and how can I do something about it right now.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Juliet. This has really been informative. And I just think our audience is going to get so much from this conversation.
Yeah, we got a lot from it, if nothing else.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys.
Again, our thanks to Juliet Funt. Her new book is called A Minute to Think, Reclaim Creativity, Conquer Busyness, and Do Your Best Work. And her website is julietfunt.com. I'm Jan Black.
And I'm Laura Owens.
You're listening to Nobody Told Me. Thank you so much for joining us.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.